Giants, the masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
And Alec Medford is out for the next couple of days.
What are we supposed to do?
Important concert things, among other things. So in his stead, we bring Kevin Walker and...
Does that mean instead of him? Is that basically the same thing?
Pretty much.
All right.
Yeah. I guess I could have just said that. No need to be overly fancy.
No, I like how fancy
you are. We bring in Kevin Walker. Kevin, other Kevin, what do we need to know about you? And do you like the moniker of Khaki Kev?
I do enjoy that moniker. What you need to know about me, I enjoy shoes. So that of just the same as Alec Medford, I enjoy shoes. I am DFW local, so all DFW teams I root for. I'm a depressed Cowboys fan just like the rest of us. Yeah. I love KNC, so I try to tune in as often as I can. I'm going to try to do as good as I can. I can't replace Alec, but I can do what I can, right? I can
try. But do you kind of hope that you could replace Alec with these next 2 days and just be like so good that we're like, well, we got to get rid of him?
I don't want to get rid of Alec. Okay. I don't want to get rid of Alec.
Good answer. That was a test.
I have a question for you, Kevin.
Yes.
It's interesting that he thought that Kevin I was talking to
Oh, yes. Him. Sorry. Got to get used to that. Got to get used to that.
I don't care for that.
I have a question for you, Kevin's. Yesterday, my son had his first football game of the season, all right? And he calls me, because the game's at 7:30, calls me at 5:30, says, Dad, I need to go to the restroom. I was like, go, you have,
is it a phone call worthy?
There's a whole bunch of restrooms at your school. You're at the school, you're in the locker room right now preparing for a game. And he goes, no, I need to go number two. And I was like, again, plethora of restrooms in that building. And he said, I said, just go with the school. And he said, no, there's no way I'm using that toilet paper. And I was like,
it's thin.
I guess, made of crushed glass or something. He was like, I'm not using this toilet paper. And he called Adrian first and she said, no, I'm not coming to get you. And I sympathized with him and I went ahead and went and picked him up. We live close enough and brought him home. Gave him the 15 minutes or whatever, and then took him back to the school and dropped him off. Do you not go to the restroom in a public place because of the toilet paper?
So I think,
or is it because of your fear that somebody might know that it was you?
Yeah, I could see that, but I also think it's the fear of the breakthrough on that single ply toilet paper. Because that's going to ruin the rest of your day. You can wash as much as you like, but still.
You're just going to know that it was theirs.
Yeah.
See, I don't know when I got over it, but going in public is not a fear for me at all anymore.
That's good.
I got past that a long time ago, but he was very adamant that he was like, if I don't come home and do this, it's going to happen in the middle of the game. And I was like, you aren't desperate enough to do that at home or at the school. You're not desperate enough to do that. You're desperate enough to beg me to come get you. But I also did sympathize with him. And Adrian, on the other hand, she doesn't like doing that in public. So that's another thing. I'm like, hey, you know the feeling, yet you did not care. So that's my question for the day.
I think
Kevin's.
One of the texters believes you taught him an important lesson about entitlement. And I kind of like the idea.
Good point.
Of that.
Yeah, I should have just made him walk home.
If
you really want to do it, walk home.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far.
All right.
Now, we could have Cowboys questions that matter.
Okay.
And I do want to get to that. But first, I feel like, can you play me a Rangers highlight really from just about any inning because they were smashing the Angels all evening long?
First pitch to Jock, drilled deep out into right field. Adell going back, he leaps, and it is gone. Adell trying to make a home run saving grab, but that one just gets by him for Jock Peterson. A 3-run homer, Rangers lead 7-1.
And if he would have caught it, the final score might have only been 17-3. Now, the Rangers went off on the Angels last night. 20 runs, 22 hits. This game was not particularly competitive. after, I was going to say the fourth inning, but if you wanted to argue to me you thought it was over after the second inning, I would certainly be willing to listen to that. But you know what's really interesting about this? Not only the Rangers get another win, that's 5 of 6. They win the series against the A's. This is another game where they had created some space. Like, you look at the game against the Angels the night before, you look at least the second game against the Guardians, you've started to create space where, as the way you've put it for some time now, Corey, not every pitch is a high pressure or high leverage pitch. And that's going to be easier for the starters, for the bullpen. And so in addition to getting wins, you are creating some separation that doesn't make life, I would assume, miserable on the starting pitchers and relievers.
And it allows you to attack the strike zone differently, too.
Fact.
And like that's a long-known thing about baseball. For pitchers, they have a 3-4-run lead. They're like, I can go out there and throw and not worry about giving up a solo home run. But I can throw strikes and strikes that matter instead of having to eat around the corners too much. And so like that was huge for Lats, Webb, Crivello, Armstrong, Bushley, all of them last night. Very important that they got that.
Bushley back up.
Yeah. That opportunity to kind of go out there with just a fresh, whew, I don't even have to stress this one, 20 runs, baby. And you said record at the Globe Life? Is that a record now? I believe Evan Grant posted that.
Yes, because they haven't been there too long, so the last time they scored this many runs would have not been in this ballpark.
Yeah, so it was wonderful to see that last night, and everybody like messaging me throughout the evening saying, dude, do you see this? I'm like, no, I'm watching my kid's football game. And yes, I did tell my kid that he needs to carry his own roll of toilet paper to school now, if that's how it's going to be, because that was my time right there.
He needs to put it in the backpack, right? Or else people think he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or leave it in his locker.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
And you're getting closer and closer to the bizarre yet intriguing situation where you might find yourself pretty soon the same distance from winning the division as you are to make the wild card.
Okay.
Because, like, we've talked about this. This is one of the agitating parts of this entire Rangers season, is there's been so many times where the rest of the AL West is like, we might not want to win this division either. And it feels like you could have been so much further along. But 4.5 out of the wild card, I believe, 6 out of the division lead. So you're looking at a Houston, Seattle, and now Texas team that obviously Houston and Seattle are closer to feeling comfortable, but all three of those teams are in the mix as of now, and they're not all three going to make it, or at least it feels highly unlikely that that would happen.
Yeah. I saw somebody propose the idea of run differential being the decider for wild card teams. And that would put us in good spot, Kevin.
I mean,
so for this year at least.
That's going back to the Pythagorean theory that we talked about, like perhaps could be a true reflection of what your record should be. Well, the Rangers are in a position where they should be doing a lot better. And I know they destroyed the Angels last night, but you have a 5-run worse run differential than Detroit. Detroit has the second best record in the American League and is leading their division by 8.5 games. And so there are many reasons this team is agitating this year.
It's wild. Every team in baseball has given up at least 510 runs, except for the Rangers.
Oh,
the Rangers haven't even given up 500 runs. And like, that's so ridiculous that their record is what it is whenever that's been the case.
And see, and that's where I'm at, because it was only last night that they got back above 500.
Yeah, I know.
Like that.
I know. They're just
that's obviously absurd.
They're just riding this wave. And Kevin, again, it goes to the crazy concept of not every season's going to be the same for one. Like not every, you know, if you won a World Series this year, you'd go, those two seasons were pretty much complete opposites.
Right.
But then the other theory of maybe only a month really matters. Coaches have told us this since we started doing our job. Like since we started asking coaches questions, they've always said, you just got to be hot at the right time. And we always go, okay, what a great coach thing to say.
I mean,
the reality is,
Here we are.
And Bruce Bochy, go look at his history. Is that not a reality for his team's just got hot at the right times?
Now, we're going to switch gears to the Cowboys. And I've got a few more questions for y'all. And I'm going to start with this. You saw names like Ernest Brown, Jalen Brooks, Trayshon Holden. You were able to get Will Grier on the practice squad as well, Kimon Hall. What do you think about the Cowboys practice squad? And if you didn't have this job, Corey, do you think you would care about it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Because when I wasn't in this job, I was reading everything. I was paying attention to everything. Like, I was already doing that anyway. So I was preparing for this job, I guess, the entire time. But I was already so focused on, okay, is this guy going to be able to stick around and grow into something? Are these good pet cats that you can use for the future? And how will they be used on the practice squad? You know, like, and how can I elevate them? How can I get them involved in this team? Or will they ever have a chance? Some guys you just kind of knew. It does feel like with the way that this NFL has been more lately, that practice squad is a cultivating area,
right?
More than anything else. So yeah, I probably would, but at the same time, we're a week away from football, and we really want to get there fast.
Yes,
that's where I am at right now.
Princeton Fant also on the list. Fairweather, I know a lot of people were curious about him. Jalen Cropper, Sadiq Charles. A lot of, if you've been following the training camp coverage right here on 105.3 The Fan, which hopefully you have this year, and in the past year or two, a lot of names that you are probably familiar with. And then there's still a couple more names that the Cowboys I know are actively trying to or hoping get through waivers so they can add them to the practice squad, especially since they made a couple of cornerback shifts in the last 24 hours. All right, my next question for you. I just think this question is fun. How many sacks will Micah Parsons have for the Cowboys this season?
In the first game?
Well, zero.
You don't think he's playing?
Man, if you're hopping on a plane to maybe or maybe not get a fake doctor's note so you don't
or
have
a real
play.
One.
Yeah, or a real doctor's note that you don't have to play. I don't know. So that's the question. This season. So that factors in how much will he play?
11.
11, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to presume that he plays a shortened season. I don't
You're
know
how... he might get hit by a car.
I'm not that worried. Dude, now I actually am a little bit. Now that you bring it up like
That's
that.
That's why Jerry said he didn't get his extension. He didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah, we want to make sure he doesn't get hit by a car until right before the game.
What? Yes. That is the way he said it was, which was confusing.
They signed Dak right before the game because they didn't want him to get hit by a car. Is what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, we had to wait until then. What if you got hit by a car walking across the street to the stadium that day? Mm. But the I'm assuming he's going to play a shortened season. I don't know how shortened it's going to be. I might even say two games. Let's go with the Emmitt Smith model because we keep bringing that up. Jerry
right.
keeps, hey, don't forget we won the Super Bowl that year.
Back.
You had to go on a bit of a tear in order to win that Super Bowl. Let's not
and
forget.
And you're also the defending champion.
You had some luck on your side in that instance too. And then he has to have a few games to get back into form. And then I think that 11's a good number because I think he can do that. I think he can have a game where he has a couple of big moments. And you know, the Charles Haley moment where Barry Switzer went up to him and was like, "Hey, it's all on you." And Charles Haley's like, "Crap, I got it," and went out and got four sacks. You know, like, okay, have one of those big games and it'll work out. But I think 11's a good number.
Kevin Walker, how many sacks will Micah Parsons have for the Cowboys this season?
I would set it at 10 because I do think he'll miss a game or two. I'd say 10.
Okay. So optimistic. He's not going anywhere in your face, Green Bay, or whatever actual trade rumors are out there. By the way, shout out to Mike Florio for picking up that thing off of Reddit and being like, oh, yeah, no, my sources say that Green Bay is interested too. Good work. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnola and maybe, just maybe, time for some Stars Talk next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to get you prepared for all of the different places you could see our show, see all of our shows tonight at Jake's final first round of Fan Phenom off of Main Street in Frisco. Tomorrow morning, Sean and RJ, they're going to be at the Firehouse in Red Oak, 547 Methodist Street with that Cooling Town towel giveaway, just towel. And then tomorrow we will be at Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you believe it's a week away?
Man, we're talking about that. You're in game week now, or essentially in game week now. And the Cowboys have already started to make some roster moves. How excited are you that they waived Andrew Booth? I'm just kidding, Mickey. But they did make a couple of moves at cornerback, and I know they're still hoping to slide at least one of those guys back onto the practice squad. But any surprise at the movement there, given how much it feels like uncertainty we've had at cornerback throughout training camp?
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we got to see these guys, right? But just doing a little background work or whatever, it seems like they are very enthralled with Reddy Stewart. You know, he was with Matt Eberflus and... with the Bears, right?
Yeah.
And I know he was on the practice squad. I think he only played one game. But from my understanding, they were pretty high on him. And, you know, he may, depending on who's able to play, who's not able to play, he's a slot corner. And they must have thought that this guy was better than the young slot corners or guys they were trying to play there. So, be interesting when they get back into practice tomorrow, just where this guy's lining up. He's 4.45 speed, and he was pretty good at Troy. Now, I know you're going to say, well, it was the Sun Belt, right? But I read where his last 2 years there, he had something like 7 interceptions, 2 returned for touchdowns. And he had, and in the Bears preseason last year in one game, and again, it probably was the last game, so who's he playing against, right? I get all that. He had 2 picks and 1 return 46 yards for a touchdown. So he's got a history at a lower level of being really productive. Now, we'll see what happens, but he's going to get an opportunity. You know, I think it was Minnesota signed him to a futures contract, and then they let him go, so he didn't impress anybody there. But obviously, the Cowboys are relying on their scouting department on, you know, how they graded somebody back then going into the draft. So I think it's interesting just to take a look and see that, you know, after they spent all of training camp with Zion Childress and Keeman Hall kind of in the slot.
Which I feel like we kind of like them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And now they thought, well, maybe this is better. Now, the other thing is, you know, you take a look, and when you claim a guy, he's on your 53, but that doesn't mean that you can't elevate one of those 2 guys on game day if you don't like what you saw. So it's not like you forfeited anybody, since those guys made it through waivers that you could put them on. Well, we don't know yet on Childress, right? That has to happen today if he clears. And really, everybody that the Cowboys let go, only Tyrus Wheat got claimed by the Lions. No one else got claimed. So just when you think there are these guys, it's like, oh, man, you know, we can't get this guy through or we can't get that guy through. And then you put them out there and everybody's got guys like that. So I think that's kind of telling on, you know, only one guy got claimed off waivers.
The practice schedule this week, how does it differ from what the training camp buildup is? Like, reps now go to Dak. Reps now go to a first-team guy. How much difference is it the week of a game from what they do building up to that?
Yeah. So tomorrow they're going to treat that as a bonus practice, so that might not be indicative of what they do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, which would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in a regular week, right? Dak's going to get all the reps with the first team. I would imagine Milton's running the scout team.
Okay. He's a scout team guy for their facing.
Yeah, or Greer, one of the two, how they do it. But usually the backup gets no snaps whatsoever with the first team. Dak gets them all. Now, they may make an exception just because of the situation they're in right now. And who knows? You know, depending on who they want to elevate, they can elevate Will Greer onto the active roster on game day. So you never know.
Oh, that would be surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might, which would be very telling about Joe Milton, right?
Yes.
And his readiness to be prepared to be the backup in game one.
Day one in the game. I mean, you can manipulate the roster that way. So those are always the deal. And then the other guy, they got Triquiz Bridges. He was kind of a safety corner. And, you know, we'll see. I didn't hear much about him, but I heard that they were big on this Stewart guy. So we'll see.
Now, you talked about getting ready for the Eagles. Terrence Steele has been talking about that. Dak Prescott has been talking about that. And one of the things that Dak said is, you know, watching their playoff run last year, a couple of games against us. Do you get the sense, or how much film study, if at all, is taken away from, like, the preseason, especially given how much we've moved away from, like, you're playing your starters in these games?
Yeah, I think you're relying mostly on what you learned about the team last year. And you know, the Eagles, you know, defending champs, right? But
sure,
they got some issues on defense. They lost five starters.
Sure.
So there's some guys they're going to be playing that you're not totally familiar with, or you have to look at, well, where'd they come from? Where did they, you know, what were they doing then? The system's going to be the same. So for the new guys, and there's a lot of new guys on this roster, it's basically, and I'm sure they've already started that, but concentrating more on the system. The offense, you can probably, you know, it's not going to change a whole heck of a lot. So the Cowboys at least have a kind of a hold on what that is, more so than the Eagles have on what the Cowboys are going to be doing, since both coordinators, well, and I'm calling Schottenheimer the coordinator offense, and then the new coordinator on defense, Eberflus, they're going to have to go look and see what he was doing from a scheme standpoint with the Bears. But it's not the same personnel. So there's probably a little bit more unknown for the Eagles than there is for the Cowboys. But if you're, you know, a veteran guy knows that, you know, you better have been studying film all week, even though you had to have the mandatory 3 days off.
See, Kevin, that's why. That's why I discussed the Joe Milton thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I would throw all the wacky packages at them because they'll be like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah. Hey, look, and they can be like, well, they won't beat us again with that. And I'll be like, hey, it worked the first time.
Yeah, you don't know.
Well, at least it won't be vanilla, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Or a seven iron.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Play with the whole set of clubs.
So, yeah. So, you know, and, you know, when you look at the roster, you know, the way it panned out, I don't know that there were great surprises there on how it all turned out. And, you know, and I think it's indicative of their kind of concern at the cornerback position. You know, how I'm sure Diggs is going to get out there, but how much, right? You don't know that. We have no idea about Parsons, right?
Yeah.
And so those are things that, you know, they haven't been answered. They still haven't been answered. And I don't know how far you go before you get an idea. And by the way, with this back issue, seriously.
Well, I was about to ask you if you had fiery opinions about.
Well, I do, because, you know, he was working out in training camp. You know, he was doing, not with the team, but he was doing conditioning work. And, you know, when you're walking around the tennis courts there, you see things. And sure didn't look like he was limping around. So I think this is chapter 4 of the agent and negotiating book.
Right. So
we've hit a stalemate, and now we're worried that they're going to put him on some reserve list, and the only one I can think of is non-football injury, right?
Yeah, so
because you're refusing to participate.
It is a fair thought that he might be just seeking out.
I mean, I don't mean non-football injury. I meant to say conduct detrimental to the team.
Yeah, that's
what I meant to say.
No, I understand.
And then if you're on that, you don't get paid. But if you're hurt and you're not playing, then you get paid.
Right.
So now they're worried about that, and they've been worrying about if he got the fifth-year option as a defensive end
or a linebacker.
Yeah. Right? Now that's come up.
Yeah.
And it's $3 million difference, but as I like to say in the salary cap, every $1 million counts. And I'm sure in your back pocket, it certainly counts.
Well, and it could be a big difference if they decide eventually to go with a double franchise route, because then that's an elevated price in future years as well.
And it has to be 20% more than your last salary. So,
So,
there's a lot of things going on right now. I just kind of warn people, just be careful who you believe, who's reporting what. That's all.
Do you want to tell us anybody we shouldn't listen to reporting wise?
Twitter.
Oh,
just all of Twitter.
Just all of Twitter.
All right.
Make sure it's a name you know, right?
Okay.
Or trust. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I like that. Well, we know and trust you. We'll catch up with you tomorrow at a different time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, by the way.
No problem.
All right. Talk to you.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Evan, I do have this question. Do you think that, like, there was a more discreet way to get on an airplane and travel to
this
place?
Yes! Obviously, you go on Spirit. No one. I don't even think they have flight logs. There's no way. And so they'd be like, did Micah fly somewhere? You're like, I have no idea. So yeah, you hop on Spirit.
Under the name Pica Marsons.
Yeah, Pica Marsons. And then you'll be fine.
I just feel like that was a very like, hey, I'm a very recognizable figure wearing Cowboys gear, by the way, walking through the airport. I feel like there was you can private jet it. You know, I have no clue, but I guess to get away from maybe where people that Jerry Jones might know, he had to go somewhere further. And
it was very much the Dallas thing to do. You go somewhere to be seen, not necessarily for the activity itself. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and I feel like we got about that time. Can you give me cut number three? Because it's time for this.
Zone, Robertson in front, tip, score! Jamie Benn, the captain, completes the comeback!
Now, the Dallas Stars, we've been fired up about them, obviously, for years and years, because, you know, they actually make it to at least the conference championship. Hey. They are going to have 16 national games for the upcoming season.
Is it good?
I think it's good, but then again, depending on what streaming service you have, some people might listen and be like, that's not a national game. They're going to be on ESPN twice, ABC once, TNT seven times.
What?
And the ESPN plus Hulu combo six times. So that's 16 national games, and then the remaining 66 will, of course, be on Victory Plus. So hopefully people are pumped about a continued broader national profile, as the Stars have been on the brink for several years.
Yeah, when
now.
You're in the cup all the time and losing, like, you should definitely be more of a national figure.
They get to the round before that.
Okay, yeah. If you're around it and losing those.
Yeah. Or
you should be there.
Maybe the Stars are like, if we just make it to the second round, and sometimes the first, and sometimes not even make the playoffs on a consistent basis, then we'll always be on national.
This is going to be their year, dude. They got Gullitson, baby.
Oh, I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where the Rangers continue to mash, and we power rank the MLB power rankings. Next on The Fan.
Here's Seager. He swings and belts one. Deep right center. That is on its way. That ball is history. Over the bullpen. A monster shot for Corey. Make it 9-1 Texas in the fourth.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. The Rangers would go on to score 20 runs in their 20-3 victory over the Angels. Right now, brought to you by Reliant air conditioning. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. And let's start with those very Texas Rangers, which makes sense. Feels like that would be rude if we didn't talk about them. They scored 20 runs.
Hey, are you going to pay attention to us now that we scored 20 runs?
Yeah, I will.
Somebody asked Kevin if I'm still leaving the white flag up.
Yeah, because they're one whole game over 500.
I will leave the white flag up until they solidify a playoff spot.
Okay.
And then y'all can be like, you can't get back on the bandwagon. I'll be like, I was on this bandwagon before you were even born, all right?
I will not say that.
That being said, they haven't proven to me a long stretch of success.
Sure.
So
not even close.
And so that's where I gave up. I was like, I need them to be successful in this 7-game run. And they were like, no, they gave me the middle finger. And then I was like, all right, so that's it. That was my signal. I'm done. But you know what? That doesn't mean that I'm not rooting for their success. For I sure. love those guys, and I'm hoping they do it.
All right, let's go to New York for a couple of different stories. So Nolan McLean for the Mets has been phenomenal to start off his career. Last night, he threw 8 innings, was masterful in the 6-0 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. That created a 3-game sweep for the Mets. But also, McLean became the first Mets pitcher ever to win his first 3 starts.
Well, that's cool. Not even Doc Gooden?
Probably his team blew it for him. He was probably awesome. That's what ESPN stats and information says. That feels like a low number. Like 3? If you said to win your first 7 starts, I'd be like, oh, wow, that's a lot.
I can get it because let's say you win
that. You said you could get it.
I'd understand. You win the first one.
Mm-hmm.
No decision the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then win the next one. That's, you know, I understand that completely. So, but that does, and it's the Mets. This is just the Mets. This isn't all of baseball history, right?
No, correct.
So, yeah, it's the Mets. So,
correct.
They're weird.
That would be really astonishing.
They're a weird bunch. You know, we've always known that. That's often been said about them.
True.
So, we can totally get, hey, all right. So, and by the way, no decision or win, loss, win for Dwight Gooden.
Oh, he lost his second
one? The second one, 2-11. He went 3 1/3 innings, gave up 6 runs.
Oh, no.
So he was booty in that game.
Okay. Well, he was outstanding after that for several years. Now, let's go to the other New York team, the Yankees.
6th game, he gave up 8 runs.
Okay. Well, you know he turned out to be really, really good.
Only went 2 1/3.
Four.
Dude, it was the end of the season that he was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you really need to pay attention. I'll go back. We'll go do a deep dive on it later.
So the Yankees beat the Nationals 11-2, and that was on the strength of one half inning where they scored 9 runs, and the half inning took 41 minutes.
Really? That's a long time.
Usually it doesn't work perfectly, especially since they sped up the game, but you could kind of like chunk out 10 minutes per half inning to kind of gauge, like, yeah, if you're going to get a 3-hour game.
And you know this specifically. I don't know if you knew this beforehand, but when we worked nights, we kind of were figuring, okay, how much time do I need to get to the station? And I knew that if it was about, you know, the 7th inning, I was like, I'm going to need to start getting prepared to head up to the station.
Right.
Because I got about 30 minutes
exactly.
working here.
Exactly. Yes. I definitely became far more interested because of that. All right. Let's go from that to, unfortunately, the Mariners continue to win. They were victorious 4-3 yesterday. But one of the things that I thought was of note in that game, Brian Wu, he was fine, but he didn't get to 6 innings. Brian Wu had pitched 25 straight starts with at least 6 innings.
Wow.
Now, I know back in the day, a lot of people would be like, oh, well, you're soft. But now, if you go 6 innings, at times it feels to me like if you make it through 6 complete innings, that is almost the same as a complete game back in the day, even though that's ridiculous.
Is quality start 3 runs?
Correct.
Okay, man, that's a good run, though, man, of quality starts for him, too, though.
Which I also hate. I think we need to revisit that, all right? Because if you had a pitcher who had a 4.5 ERA, wouldn't you be like, okay. But a quality start is 6 innings, 3 runs. That's a 4.5 ERA. Now, if you go more than six innings, I know that could lower the number, but like, I feel like we need to have more stringent numbers on a quality start.
Man.
Or maybe with modern baseball, if you get to six innings, it doesn't matter what you do. That's a quality start.
It doesn't say fantastic start, Kevin. It says quality. Like, and quality is fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, Mike Bacsik had a... Oh, crap.
Don't you dare call him out. He knows... He knows his stats really well.
It was a 5.46 ERA. I was hoping that it was like a 4.5, because then I'd be like, Mike, and then you could be like, you know what? You got a good point. Mike was a quality pitcher. Now you're saying he wasn't quality.
I will defer to Mike on that. I believe he might have that opinion. I will not speak for him. All right, let's go to the Cy Young rankings. Or do you just want the overall power rankings for baseball?
Well, now that Evaldi's out, DeGrom's got to be out too.
Does he?
The only person that's available
is Jack Leiter.
Patrick Corbin.
I mean, he did have an incredible last start.
He's had some quality starts.
Yes, yes, he has. So, Tarek Skubal is currently ranked number one by MLB.com. In their quest for the Cy Young in the American League, Garrett Crochet is next. Hunter Brown is third. And now, Jacob DeGrom is fourth on the list and sixth overall among pitchers for AL Cy Young. With the departure for the rest of the regular season of Nathan Eovaldi, though, I just don't see it. I thought he had a shot, and even he had long odds. So this will be another year, unfortunately, in which the Rangers do not get a Cy Young.
Ugh.
But
DeGrom could throw, what, two shutouts down the stretch here and get it?
If he threw two complete game shutouts, that might change things.
What about two perfect games?
Then, look, it stands to reason if I think two shutouts would change things.
In a row.
Two perfect games, which has never been done. I know they had the back-to-back no-hitter, not back-to-back perfect game. Then I think he should win it. Sorry, Tarek.
Yeah.
By the way, for the...
All right, Jacob. That's all you got to do. I know you listen to us. All you have to do is go pitch two perfect games in a row.
Yeah, and it's not that Eovaldi would
Kevin
be...
Kevin says you can't.
That's true. I do say that you can't. It's not that Eovaldi is ineligible for the Cy Young now. It's just with the number of innings he's pitched, and he won't be a qualifier for like the ERA title and everything. Unfortunately, he will not win. The Texas Rangers are up to number 15 in ESPN.com's power rankings, up from 16 to 15.
Because they put 20 on them?
You know, I don't know if it was just that. I think it was the 4 or 5 that they had won before.
Okay,
last night.
So if it had been last night's game, they would have gotten bumped up like 3 or 4 more spots, right?
I mean, it does encapsulate last night's game. So yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't think
so. Well, congratulations.
So. But fear not. The Colorado Rockies and Chicago White Sox remain at the bottom of the heap. And probably not surprisingly, the Milwaukee Brewers remain at the top of the power.
Still
rankings.
On fire, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're good at baseball.
Do you think they could win the World Series?
Well, they're on a 1-game losing streak right now. So
is that a losing streak?
It's what it's Kevin on ESPN.com's app website in the standing section. It says STRK. What does that mean?
I guess streak.
So I'm just it says current streak. And then under that, it says L1. So I'm just going to go based on what they say. I don't agree with
okay.
I just want to let you know, I don't agree.
Thank you for
I'm
that.
I'm just reading the facts.
And then also, Shohei Ohtani struck out 9 last night over 5 innings since the Dodgers were victorious 5-1. The total for the night, the Dodgers registered 19 strikeouts. That is a season high for the club and a franchise record for a 9-inning game since at least 1901. And before that, they were like, I don't know. I had to go do a whole bunch of other things after the game, go back to the farm. So they had other stuff to do, and they do not have reputable stats before that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL teams primed to make a big jump this season and those ready to fall. Next on The Fan.